From the bizarre world of the paranormal to the sinister secrets of the U.S. government, the Black Vault has become known worldwide as the premier spot for anything and everything conspiracy. Now, join me, John Greenwald Jr., as we dive into the research together in hopes to decipher these mysteries. This is the Black Vault Radio. That's right, this is the Black Vault Radio, and I am so glad to be recording and bringing this show to you. First, please accept my sincerest apologies for the lack of shows that have appeared right here on Black Vault Radio Network, BVRN. I'm kind of embarrassed to say that. But after a long delay, and my apologies to those who have written in wondering what the heck happened to me while I am alive, the last 6 weeks or so have been quite hectic for me. For those of you who have been following the media attention to the Black Vault, or quite possibly you are new to the Black Vault due to that media attention, first and foremost, welcome. It's great to have you. I've seen thousands of new members sign up to the Black Vault, log on, tens of thousands of you log on to the Black Vault every day now. It's an unbelievable increase in traffic, and I have the media attention on Yahoo News to thank for that. I believe I mentioned that once before on the past show on the Black Vault Radio. If you missed that, or if you missed that show, feel free to go back into the archives. But if you want to log on, if you're listening via theblackvault.com, you can surf while you're listening. Just start another Black Vault. I'm sorry. I'm all stuck on saying Black Vault all the time. Black Vault, it says Black Vault everything. No, start another web browser. Go to there is no www. It's an odd address. Just go to POTW, people of the web, .news.yahoo.com. Again, POTW. .news.yahoo.com. Check it out. I'm not the lead story anymore, but if you go ahead and see the menu to the right with all the listings of stories, you'll go ahead and be able to scroll down. I believe the title says UFO Secrets Revealed with a big fat question mark right there at the end, and then you'll see my ugly mug right there. Click on that. You'll see a very, very well done piece. There's some objections that I had to it, but hey, that's okay. I can't argue too much. It's great publicity. Even for those who see Yahoo.com every day, the actual homepage, not the news homepage, would have seen my ugly mug right there on the front page of Yahoo.com and actually stayed in the top four stories for about 6 hours. Well, I tell you that that kind of exposure, companies, individuals, books, retailers, they pay tens of thousands of dollars for that kind of publicity. So I cannot argue at all. They can say any bad thing about me. What's that saying? Bad publicity is better than no publicity. Well, hey, I'll take it. And in fact, it wasn't bad at all. It was a cool piece. So make sure you watch that. And you'll be able to see a little bit about my background. You'll see why I do what I do. But due to all of this exposure, because since then, I've done some fairly major radio and television spots, actually around the globe. How cool is that? A network in Russia, one of the big three networks in Russia, NTV, flew a correspondent out here, and they contacted me, wanted to do a little on-camera interview, and sure enough, they came out to the house. We had a great time. It was a little bit tough. We had a very nice translator here to help us both out understand each other. But he did speak a little bit of English. We had great conversations both on and off camera. And also, some of you may have heard me on the Adam Carolla show, which is, I would say that was a fun experience. That was as expected, many jokes were thrown my way. If you're not familiar with that show, well, if you listen to the interview, which I've got archived online, if you go to theblackvault.com, it's a little bit different than what you would hear from me on Coast to Coast or some other similar radio program. Quite the opposite. I would say they were slinging their jokes in full form. However, they were fairly respectful and asked some pretty good questions. Well, I'm going to devote this show to your questions because I'm not going to be limited to 6 seconds to answer a question. I received hundreds and hundreds of your emails asking me all sorts of questions and requests to just read them on the air here on Black Vault Radio and talk about them. They're coming up. Your questions. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I'm John Greenwald Jr. Thanks for tuning in, making the Black Vault Radio your podcast of choice right now. If you're just joining me, I am taking your questions by popular demand. I normally wouldn't do a show like this, but started receiving a lot of letters of questions, comments, even concerns and criticisms, but I welcome them all. And many of it is, much of it, I should say, is due to the onslaught of media attention to the blackvault.com as of late, which is all due to this Yahoo News article. And before the break, I was telling you a little bit about my experience on the Adam Carolla show. If you missed that, again, you might be in for a little bit of a shock, because they do have their jokes. They do have their sound bites that come in the middle of me trying to give an answer to spark a few laughs. And they do, albeit it is funny, and it was a fun experience. Don't expect too much. But if you go to the past updates archives right there on the front page of the blackvault.com, you can listen to that. That was listened to by about 16 million people, so I couldn't pass up that publicity. A lot of you are joining me from that program. You've listened to me. And again, I got a lot of your letters. And my appearance on the Bob and Sherry show, there's been a couple other very big radio stations across the nation, big syndicated programs, the Bob and Sherry show. They're syndicated, I believe, in 30 different states, and they had me on for about 8 to 10 minutes. Now, my whole point in this, in telling you this long, boring story, is these interviews, albeit fantastic, the Bob and Sherry show was actually a lot of fun to do, and Bob, being the skeptic, is what I was told. I haven't heard them before. Don't tell him I said that. But I didn't hear their show before, and apparently they've talked about this topic rarely, but on a couple occasions, and Bob's a little bit of a skeptic. They do say on the air that I kind of piqued his interest a little bit, and that he even said himself that I was a fairly convincing person. That's a good feeling to me, because what I'm trying to do when I do these media interviews, when I talk about the UFO topic, is not really sound like a nutball. Now, maybe deep down I am, who knows, but I don't want to come off that way. What I want to do, and what I've always done, I've just passed 11 years in August, 11 years I've been doing the Black Vault. I've really wanted to keep that serious research to this, because it is a serious topic. It's a lot of fun, don't get me wrong, but it is a very serious topic. Now, you guys have written in, you've got your questions. I was limited on all those shows, but guess what? This is my radio show. I'm not going to limit myself. I'm going to take your questions. Tons of them came in and spent a lot of time trying to organize these things. I appreciate everybody who has taken part into submitting their questions and wanting to know more. I've tried to organize them in somewhat of a good order, so this whole show will actually make sense to you and not be across the board. So I do appreciate all of you sending in your emails. Now, if this is your first time joining me here on the Black Vault Radio, welcome. If it's your first time on the Black Vault, and or maybe you've visited a couple times, you don't know what the heck it's about, let me just give you the nutshell version. Then I'll dive into many of your questions. The BlackVault.com was started by myself now over 11 years ago. I was 15 at the time. Do the math, and I'm getting up there in age. Yes, I'm getting old. But I wanted, at that time, I wanted to really just pursue a curiosity. I had not had a sighting. I had not had an encounter, an experience, nothing like that. I had a curiosity. And that's really deep down what it was. So I started looking online and started researching UFOs and seeing what was out there. And you really do get those stories that are told all the time, the same Roswell incident stories. Now, there's a lot to that case, and I'm the first one to say it. But I just got tired of reading it, and I came across this website with a 4-page document on it, and that really piqued my interest because it was a U.S. government document, it was declassified, and it was obtained under what's called the Freedom of Information Act. So I fired off that request because this website explains to you how to do it. They just say, print out this letter, put your name on it, and sure enough, you'll get the document. Now, I didn't believe that. And even if the document was true, why was the government going to send a 15-year-old kid a letter, let alone a document, part of their archive? And sure enough, they did. And that really was the start of what you're looking at if you're on the blackvault.com. That was the start of that website, because I went back on the internet, tried to search for more, very few documents to be found. But I knew that if I was looking for it, and I had a curiosity that others did too, and they would want to see this document. So I started researching. I started firing off these Freedom of Information Act requests, trying to figure out the deep archives of the United States government and military, not only on UFOs, but later I would start tackling all sorts of different topics. And the result is what you're looking at. And here I am 11 years later. My curiosity has not died. I still haven't had a UFO sighting or unexplained experience that really drives me to push on. It's the curiosity that makes me push on. And that leads me to my first question submitted by you. This is from Barbara W. in Santa Barbara, California. And she says, what got you started requesting FOIA documents at the age of 15? Well, I think I've halfway answered your question, Barbara. Thanks for submitting it. But I also want to add that I think that when I was 15, what got me started was not only that curiosity, but that desire to learn. And I know that that sounds silly and cheesy, and I don't even think that I knew that at the time, but I think it was some kind of thirst for knowledge that you don't hear about in your history class. When I was in high school, when I first started these requests, I was still in high school, obviously, and I was always taken back, like, for example, history class. I'm a big World War II buff. When you sit through a history class like that and you get to World War II and you deal with all the information that's behind that huge era in history, you can spend years on that topic alone. They just breeze by it in like 2 days, you know, and I had done personal research. So when I was a junior and senior in high school and we would get to topics like that, it would always irk me because there was so much more that they could teach. There's so much more to learn about. And it's not that, you know, overarching story that really kind of is told time and time again in the classroom. There's so much more to discover. And a lot of what I researched was through the Freedom of Information Act. If you go to theblackvault.com, click on the documents, and you'll see a World War II section. There's fascinating history in there. And that's true across the board. If you have an interest, if you have something that really does fascinate you, but you don't know where to start, use the Freedom of Information Act. It actually works. Now, Billy from Phoenix, Arizona, he writes in, can you explain how the Freedom of Information Act works? Well, Billy, I'm glad you asked. The Freedom of Information Act is a law that's been around for a few decades. And what, in brief, what it says is that any person, no matter where your locale is, you can be right here in the great United States of America, you could be in the UK, you could be in China, you can be in Afghanistan if you want and file a Freedom of Information Act request. You file it to any agency, federal agency, or military installation, almost all. And we'll see if I can get into that a little bit later. But pretty much every military and government installation in the federal government will accept a Freedom of Information Act request. What does that mean? Well, if you have that interest that I just talked about a couple of minutes ago, no matter what it might be, if you think the military or government has something, then I urge you, start your quest. And theblackvault.com can help you. I've got a section on really giving the very first to admit the long, boring details about what the Freedom of Information Act is. But I'm trying to stress that the act is a fairly simple technique to use. And I say technique because you got to learn a little bit about the style of your letter and how you ask for information. It's very easy. I've got a template online that you can actually copy and paste. And what it really says is, hey, this is a Freedom of Information Act request. It cites the law, which I think is more of a formality than anything. They know what the Freedom of Information Act is. And there's really a line where you fill in what you're looking for. For example, if you wanted UFO information, you can actually ask for all UFO information, let's say to the CIA or the NSA or the FBI. All of those agencies will accept your request, and they'll pretty much send you a bill. Not to spoil the ending for you, but the NSA, there's about 600 pages or so. I think when it's all said and done, there's about 600 pages. The DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, there's about 900. The CIA, there's over 2,000. Well, the Freedom of Information Act says that you can have up to 100 pages free of charge. And you don't have to pay for them. So that's always a major plus when you get something under 100 pages. My experience, it can kind of go up to 200 pages because they're not going to charge you $9 for a request. I've had it happen a few times, but generally they wait till the request gets up to about $15 to charge. Then the waiting game starts, though. After you file that initial request and you understand where the money is going to go, and I'm sorry, you have to stipulate, I should say, you have to stipulate the amount of money that you are willing to commit to this request in the letter. And again, that's in the template that I offer you guys. It's pretty simple to fill in the blanks. And that money is in kind of an assurance to the U.S. government. If you agree to pay up to $25 per request, well, they can charge you $25 per request and you got to pay it. So it's a little bit of a commitment. So make sure if you say you're going to pay a certain amount of money, then you're going to pay it. You might be committed to it. Now, you may not have to. It may come under 100 pages and it'll be for free and that's it. And they'll call it a day and send you the information and you'll get it and be a happy camper. Doesn't always happen that way, but that's really the law. That's it. That's really all it is. The next step, though, is that waiting game that I just talked about. It's a waiting game that it's a tough one because it is very much a game. It is very much going to test your patience because that's going to be the biggest challenge using the Freedom of Information Act is it's going to test your patience. But be that as it may, when you get that document, when you get what you're looking for, I'm telling you, it's a fantastic feeling. I'm just talking about UFOs, though, when I'm trying to give this example. Again, I urge you, the amount of information that you can get under this act, from UFOs to nuclear weapons to World War II history to military files, which actually opens up a whole other kind of can of worms, but the agencies will actually kind of walk you through getting a military file, either your own or maybe a family member, deceased or still alive. There's procedures for all of this, but again, it's fairly simple to use. And that really is what the Freedom of Information Act is. And again, if you're interested, theblackvault.com, you'll see on the left-hand side, you'll be able to see in the menu a Freedom of Information Act Help Center, which then explains this in very much more detail than I can on the air, but it's all there. And with the Electronic Freedom of Information Act that was signed by President Clinton, you can actually, right there on theblackvault.com, submit your request without actually having to print it out and send it in. That's a very cool feature that's very rare out there on the internet that I programmed in all of the email addresses for every agency that I know of that will accept the Freedom of Information Act via email. So it won't even cost you 30-plus cents to send out the letter. And sure enough, you'll get that response. So check it out. I urge you all to do that. Oh, let's see. Let's hit another question here. D from LA, from Los Angeles, California. D, she asks, do the U.S. government documents give you the smoking gun? What do you find when looking at the material? Well, D, I'm assuming that you're asking about the UFO phenomenon. And I'm here to say I've had 11 plus years experience researching the UFO documents. I have hit pretty much every agency that you can ever even imagine. And I have yet to find that smoking gun. And if anybody says that they have it, I'd love to see it because I just don't think the government's going to give you the smoking gun. But what they are going to give you is pieces of the puzzle, little shreds of evidence that goes to help unravel that mystery, help show you the truth. You're listening to the Black Vault Radio. D, I'll continue this. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr., and I am hitting the mailbag, hitting all your questions, all your comments. Well, I'm not going to read the comments. Some of them hurt. No, they didn't hurt. They were fun to read, actually. Thousands of letters have come into the Black Vault via postal mail, via email, and it's just been an exciting last 6 weeks or so with this onslaught of media exposure. And I asked all of you, in addition to all the questions and comments that came into me, if you guys had any questions that you wanted me to address on the air, I'm going through them. And questions came in via email, via the message forums, via my telephone. I have no idea how you guys got my telephone. How did that happen? I guess, I don't know. I don't even want to know. Never mind. Don't tell me. But I did get a couple voicemails at home. And so I'm trying my best to hit all of your questions. I've got a big pile here, and of course, time is running thin. D from Los Angeles, California asked, does the U.S. government offer the smoking gun? I'm operating off the assumption she's talking about the UFO phenomenon. D, again, I haven't found that smoking gun, but like I said before, I got cut off by the break. The government does give you those little pieces of evidence. It's what I call little pieces of the puzzle, and the puzzle being the truth, being that overall story, what we want to know, what we all really have this passion for, but we just don't know what the truth is. And I think that when you take all of these little pieces of the puzzle, and again, getting them from the NSA and the FBI and the DIA and the DOD and name the acronym, one of them has a little bit of piece of the puzzle. When you put those all out, and it really starts to paint a picture. It really starts to put that puzzle together. And I've used this analogy a couple times, but when you realize, all of these pieces are starting to create a bigger picture, you think that you're getting somewhere in that puzzle. Well, you start to put it together and you realize, well, that's just a piece to an even bigger one. But that is the fascinating draw to this topic. I think that's why there's so many people that are interested in this topic and downloading the information. I can't even tell you the numbers of downloads the UFO documents have been hit and downloaded the last 6 weeks or so. It's amazing, but it shows me that there's that huge interest by the public to find out more. And via the Freedom of Information Act, you can all do that and really pursue it under the Freedom of Information Act. All the way from Edinburgh, Scotland. What is your ultimate goal for the Black Vault? And that comes from Peter J. Well, Peter, my ultimate goal for the Black Vault is very much what you see when you surf around the Black Vault. I've kind of hit many of my personal goals, and to be honest with you, I've kind of surpassed that, and I have no idea what tomorrow brings for theblackvault.com or myself or my personal research. It's led me to a career in television production. I don't know if in Edinburgh, Scotland, you get the History Channel, and you may. I know they have a History International, but I don't know the scheduling of some of my programs on that network. But if you ever watch the UFO Files series, to name a few, I've been responsible for UFO Hunters, Texas's Roswell. One of the newest ones was Alien Encounters. That was a show that I did with Ted Phillips. There's been a few others that you can see, and even non-related ones, the Prophecies of Iraq, which I had a lot of fun producing. That was actually one of the first ones that I produced by myself and was able to write the full show going back a couple years ago. I believe that that is still airing. So you'll be able to check that out right there on the History Channel. And so that's all thanks to the Black Vault. That's thanks to, you know, getting into this. Ask me 11 years ago when I was a 15-year-old punk kid writing the U.S. government for information. If I'd one day become a television producer and actually making these things for these networks, I'd say you're absolutely nuts. Here I am, 26-year-old, still a punk kid, but I am a television producer nonetheless and making these programs and having a lot of fun bringing them all to you. So my ultimate goal, in short, I have no idea anymore. It's just gotten a lot bigger size-wise than I ever imagined, popularity-wise than I ever imagined, and hopefully it keeps growing, and hopefully I keep getting surprised every couple weeks or so when something new happens, or I get a fantastic letter from a visitor to the Black Vault and having the information really kind of in interest them, and really it kind of makes it all worthwhile. An anonymous question came in: does the Freedom of Information Act even work anymore after 9/11? Well, I don't know who I'm addressing, but I can say that it absolutely does, and I believe that I've already addressed this per se, that it really does work after 9/11. Didn't see many differences other than some information got classified. President Bush did something, though, that maybe you haven't heard about when it comes to U.S. secrecy, but it's not what you think. Stay tuned, I'll tell you a little bit about it when we return right here on the Black Vault Radio. You're listening to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I'm John Greenwald Jr., and I'm taking your questions from the mailbag that come in the last few weeks. Decided to devote a whole show here on the Black Vault Radio to your letters, your questions, what you want to know, where I'm not limited to a couple-minute interview on some of the shows that I know some of you have heard, or maybe you might want to hit them on the show archives after you listen to this show here. But before the break, I can't believe it's already the bottom of the hour. I'm not even a quarter of a way through your questions. Little did I know. I thought, maybe these questions aren't going to fill an hour. Little did I know. Well, an anonymous question came in about the Freedom of Information Act. Does it work anymore after 9/11? Well, yes, it absolutely does. I've received tens of thousands of pages since 9/11. But also last year, President Bush signed an executive order that you guys may not have heard about that actually instructed and enforced that agencies across the federal system were to kind of renew their vows, so to speak, with the Freedom of Information Act. He's pushing them to decrease what we call the FOIA case log, Freedom of Information Act case log, which is that big database of requests that have come in that the agencies still consider open, they have yet to respond to. And President Bush is trying to better that situation. He's trying to get the agencies to decrease that load, to make sure that the citizens are happy with the information they're getting. And that's really what that executive order was doing. And I think that was a pretty cool thing to do, to be quite honest with you. It was one of the best things I've heard from his administration about the Freedom of Information Act, and quite possibly it's the only thing that you'll hear about from this administration on the Freedom of Information Act. And then the last big news with the Freedom of Information Act, at least in my eyes anyway, was during the Clinton administration when he signed the Electronic Freedom of Information Act, which again opened up many new avenues for requesting and receiving the information. So with that being said, you may not have heard about that. Of course, that's not on the nightly news, but something else to make him look bad. Now, I'm not going to turn this into a political statement. I'm just saying that the media, of course, doesn't really profile the good things. They only profile the bad. But that is a show all in itself. Sandra Simmons from Washington, D.C., one of my favorite places. And also, pretty much the same question came in from Black Vault member SRO. Why are they here? Sandra says, being in the nation's capital, I think of the question, quote, why don't they land on the White House lawn? Although it is a bit cliche, why don't they? Question mark. Well, thank you, Sandra, for your question. Of course, being in Washington, D.C., I'm sure you think about that question a lot and dealing with the UFO topic. Now, why don't the aliens land on the White House lawn? Yes, it is a little bit cliche. I have heard that question many, many times, pretty much put the same way. And I can only offer my personal opinion. I really don't know if aliens, quote-unquote, extraterrestrials, are here. They're above us. I've devoted pretty much the majority of my life to researching this phenomenon, but I really haven't seen anything, and I personally need to see to believe. But let's assume, for the purpose of this question, that they are absolutely real. They are here. They are visiting. They are above our skies, and we can barely capture them on video without it being all jerky or blurry, or we can barely capture them on a photograph without it being, is that a bug? Or, you know, there's no real clear, again, using the term smoking gun, out there that proves that they're there. But why don't they just come down and land on the White House lawn? Well, my theory is this. If they are an advanced civilization, if they are a species that have evolved in somewhat a similar fashion to us, if the Big Bang Theory is 100% true and scientific fact, and we all kind of evolve in the same way or a fairly similar way, let's say that they had a 10,000-year head start or a 100,000-year head start. Well, that's nothing in space-time. It's probably, in reality, more like a million-year head start or a 5-million-year head start. Now, let's compare it to our civilization. Look in the last 100 years in our evolution. How far has our technology come? It's amazing. Look at the last 50. It's amazing. Even in the last 15, it is astounding. I can say that when I started programming websites, you couldn't even program a background into a web page. That's how young I was. I think I was 12 when I started doing that. And by the way, America Online was version 1.0 for DOS. And I don't like advertising that too much, but that is when I started using the internet, thanks to my grandma. I miss her dearly, who passed away in 2000, I believe, the end of 2000. And she's the one that really taught me the beginning stages of the internet and got me into this. Anyway, you look at that technology and you look at where that's gone in the last decade. It is amazing. Now, again, okay, back to this alien civilization. If they have now the technology to get here, would they land on the White House lawn? Would we? Would we be able to do space travel in the next 100 years, in the next 1,000 years? Yeah, I absolutely think that our species absolutely could. Now, again, comparing the two civilizations, so to say, that have evolved in two separate areas, look at what they could accomplish if they had that million-year head start. Look at what they can undoubtedly do. I mean, look again, you compare it to ours. Even if they're half the pace, they're still, forgive the pun, but light years beyond our technology. Okay, now with that being said, again, using that comparison analogy, if we were able to go back in time, if we were able to look back and see how our ancient ancestors lived, would we go down and bonk them on the head and say, hey, we're watching you? Now, for those of you who heard the Adam Carolla interview, I got cut off when I was trying to make this analogy because I confused one of the hosts of the show. And then she thought I was absolutely a moron and then put me down. And that was it, although Adam Carolla did come to my defense, so I appreciated that. However, I'll finish the thought. If we were able to look back in time and we were able to see how we formed, which in essence, again, using that Big Bang theory, using a civilization that's a million years ahead of us, if we are evolving in somewhat of a similar way, they, in essence, are looking back in time. Maybe they didn't go back a million years, no. But scientifically, they're looking at how their civilization may have been a million years prior. Comparing, using that comparison, would they come down and knock us on the head? No, absolutely not. Because again, if we were looking at that caveman and we wanted to learn, would we go down and talk to him? No, because in his current state, he couldn't handle such a, oh my God, there's this civilization that's looking at us. They're watching us. Oh, no, they wouldn't even be able to form that thought. And it would have screwed up that natural progression, that natural evolution, evolutionary process that was taking place. And I truly believe that if they are here, if they are above our heads and they're looking down for a reason. And that reason is not to interact with us. It's not to even disturb us. It's to learn. Now, who knows? Maybe they had some kind of nuclear holocaust of their own. Maybe they almost wiped out their civilization. Maybe even they just have zero written record about what they were like a million years ago, and they're just up there taking notes. Who knows? But I truly believe that that is probably the most plausible reason on why they don't come down and land on the White House lawn. Especially on the White House lawn. So Sandra and SRO and a few other questions that came in very similar to this, thank you for that. I hope that my analogy made a little bit of sense. It's hard to explain, but when you sit down and really think about it, it does make sense. And I think that the plausibility of the extraterrestrial existence and them being here is incredibly plausible when you look at and compare our evolution, our advances in science, and that head start that they may get. And then I think the UFO reality and that UFO existence really doesn't seem as far off as maybe the media makes jokes about, or some skeptic, if you want to call them that, will make fun of. It's not like that. It's a fairly cut and dry scientific explanation, in my opinion. All right, let's go back to the questions here. Rob from Dallas, Texas. How does the I have these in front of me, but it was behind. I really didn't know I'd get into this. How does the media play a role in UFOs, or does it? I see a lot more exposure lately, but not sure if that is doing anything. Well, Rob, I'm kind of glad I put the questions in this order because it was kind of a natural progression here. Yes, the media does, I think, latch onto this topic. But I think the role that they play is the negative one. I think that many of the jokes and the puns and the stupid comments by the desk anchors, no offense to any desk anchors that might be listening, but those stupid comments at the end of a UFO story, albeit it might be 3 minutes of very serious UFO news coverage, and then all of a sudden they bounce back to the news anchor and he's got that 10-second really witty comment to say. Well, that really didn't do anything for the piece there. And unfortunately, what you take away is that 10-second joke at the end of the piece. And it really kind of blows any legitimacy that may have been in the news article, or I'm sorry, in the news piece. Now, the recent exposure in, I would say, maybe the last 10 months or so is, I think, very evident. When you search Google News for UFO, you do see a lot of UFO stories from across the globe. From the UK to the US, the media is really latching on to this topic and profiling it, sometimes in not a fantastic way, but at least they're profiling it. My personal opinion is this some kind of pre-disclosure event that is kind of foreshadowing what's to come? No, I don't think so, although some will argue with me on that. I think what this is it stems from the news article that appeared the very top of this year in 2007 on the Chicago O'Hare UFO sighting, which you may have heard about right here on the Black Vault Radio. We've talked about it a little bit. Memory serves me well. I know Stanton Friedman and I talked about it briefly a few months ago when I had him on the program. And if you missed that, by the way, you can request any show online that you may have missed on the Black Vault Radio. You can download them all. The Chicago Tribune ran that story on the Chicago O'Hare sighting, And the amount of traffic that it got, because I considered it a fairly serious piece, and they weren't really making fun of the topic. It was a straightforward reporting, again, if memory serves me well on the actual article, but it was straightforward reporting, and it got an ungodly amount of traffic. And in the history of Chicago Tribune's website, never have they had a story that was hit as many times as that one piece on a UFO article. Now, you tell me why. Why? With a big fat question mark behind it. Why? The public is obviously interested in this topic. If it was really stupid and laughable, who would care about downloading or reading that article? But look what happened. It got forwarded around the globe. Chicago Tribune got slammed with traffic. All because of what? A UFO story. Now, on the internet, it's all about money. Don't let anybody ever tell you that the media, especially these newspapers, are trying to do honest reporting. I don't buy it, because I truly believe after the dot-com crash, these media outlets that are trying to make the dough are doing anything to make the dough. And the advertising really is just nil. When you go onto a news website, you see how many flash ads come up and videos that play at you. And sometimes if I have my volume too high and I go to a website that has one of those animated advertisements with sound, I don't know if you guys have ever run into this, but one of those animated ads and they've got sounds built in. And then if the mouse goes over it, it starts talking at you or screaming at you. And it is scared the heck out of me. And you know, if I'm late at night checking the news headlines or something, it just scares the bejeebers out of me. But that's what media is going to, is they're doing anything to get a dollar from the advertisements. That, to me, ties in the Chicago Tribune article. Now, whether John Hiljkovic, the reporter of that article, whatever his intention was, I don't know. I tried to get him on the program to talk about the sighting and all of that publicity, but unfortunately I never got a call back or a response back. I don't know what his intent was, but I think that media outlets around the world saw that and recognized, oh my God, if we do a UFO story, we'll get free advertising across the globe. It'll be forwarded. And an internet website owner's dream is to have a article or something with their name attached and their .com attached forwarded across the globe. That's 100% free advertising. And Chicago Tribune found that out probably unintentionally, because I don't think anybody knew that millions, literally millions of people would download that one article within days. I just don't think that anybody expected that. But they took notice of it. And I believe that that is the root of many of these new UFO articles that we're seeing and all of this exposure that the topic is getting. And even myself, the Black Vault and my work is being recognized by many media outlets. And whether or not they're trying to get the information out or they think it's a cool story or I'm a cool story, whatever. But it is very interesting that not even a year after the onslaught of traffic to that article, look at the exposure that's happening with the UFO phenomenon. So that's my two cents on how the media plays a role in the UFO topic. Okay, Evan Peters from Boise, Idaho. Why is the UFO topic so unbelievable to so many people? Do we really have evidence that would convince the masses? Well, Evan, I think I don't think we do. I think that that's why, and I hope you're listening, but I think that that's why you're listening to the program. I think that's why everybody's listening to the program. We don't have that smoking gun. We don't have that final proof. And I think that that's the draw. That's the intrigue. That's the, I have no other way to say it. That's the draw, Evan. That's why we're all here, because we don't have the answer, but we're all looking for it. Dick from New York, New York. Dick R. from New York, New York. Will disclosure ever happen? Dick, that's a $1 million question in the field of ufology, in the study of UFOs, field of ufology. Will disclosure ever happen? For those of you not familiar with the term, will the government ever come clean, is the nutshell definition of disclosure. Dick, I don't believe so. I've had that conversation not only with Steve Bassett, but a few other times here on the Black Vault Radio. I don't see the government coming clean anytime soon. I don't think they have to. I think that really it's up to us. And I gave a lecture. I was very honored to be the MC again this year at the International MUFON Symposium in Denver, Colorado. And I gave a lecture. No cameras in the room, by the way, so unfortunately you can't see it. But I talked about the disclosure issue and talked about if it would happen. And I truly think that we're stuck on the definition of disclosure being the U.S. government or U.S. military telling us, hey, UFOs are real and here's evidence. Or we have this information and data. Oh my gosh, isn't it amazing? We're sorry we lied for the last 65 years, but here you go. I don't see that happening at all. I truly believe that we have to get out of that definition and we have to realize that disclosure starts, Dick, with you and I. It starts with everybody who's listening. If you want to know more, there's a ton of information to find. I'm not trying to limit you to theblackvault.com. Go out there, search Google. Start looking at all that information on the UFO topic. It's phenomenal how much there is out there, how much evidence there is. And after this coming break, I'm going to talk about one of the newest ventures of the Black Vault that's really compiling that evidence, compiling the data, and I think really kind of disclosing in a way to the public, hey, this topic is real. We don't know what it is. The top experts have ideas. They have theories, but no one can tell you what it really is, what the UFO phenomenon really is. Nobody has those answers. So Dick, disclosure is with you and I, my good buddy. So stick with me, both in disclosure and right here on the Black Vault Radio. Only time for a couple more questions, so stay tuned. I'm going to get through as many as I can. We'll have to do a second hour with this. I would have never, ever guessed. You're listening to the Black Vault Radio. I'm John Greenwald. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. We're finishing up with myself. It's weird to say, but per your request, per popular demand over the last few weeks, I'm taking your questions, dealing with Black Vault members and new members and people that don't want to register but wanted to submit their questions anyway. You guys wanted a show devoted to your questions? Well, here you go. And guess what? You guys were right. This was a good idea because I didn't even get through half of the questions that I picked for the show, which were probably 3 or 4% of the entire massive onslaught of emails that I received asking all of your questions. Now, to finish up the show, I want to tell you about a new venture that the Black Vault is undergoing, because throughout this hour, we really talked about the Freedom of Information Act as a whole in relation to the UFO topic, but also in a much broader sense, but also the UFO issue, the media, how it plays a role. Will disclosure happen? Well, about two years ago, I started what's called the Black Vault Encyclopedia Project. For those of you that are familiar with Wikipedia, well, it's based very much on the same engine that runs Wikipedia. What I'm trying to do is compile researchers from around the globe and the research into one central location for anybody to download. It's a place where anybody can log in, read, download, and even submit their research. If you want people to be able to edit it, people can edit it. If you don't want them, you can lock and protect the page, no problem. But it's a central location, not a single advertisement on the page. I want to point that out because I'm not trying to profit off of anybody. I have a mega server that runs theblackvault.com. It has to be for all of you guys visiting and downloading all of that information, and even the Black Vault Radio all run through this one central location. Well, the Black Vault Encyclopedia Project is that centralized source for this UFO information. In my eyes, in my opinion, and forgive me using the term, to me this is a way that disclosure can happen. Because I have received tons of letters from people that aren't familiar with the UFO topic. They're not, quote-unquote, part of the UFO community, but what they are curious. And they began downloading the UFO videos, and I want to profile this section in particular, because the Black Vault Encyclopedia Project is archiving UFO case files from around the globe from all of history. And I don't have an exact count of how many case files are in, but with the cooperation and contributions from the Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON, with the cooperation and contributions from the UFO Casebook, the database is growing at a very, very fast rate. And it's becoming quickly one of the largest places to download UFO footage. Even some of the clips that I've added are in excess of an hour long. It's amazing how much video footage is taken from around the globe. Well, I put out a notice a few months ago for people to submit their UFO footage, research, and so on, because I can host that for you for free. Again, I point out, on the Encyclopedia Project, when you're looking at the case files, when you're reading through the written material, not a single advertisement, because I want to offer that centralized resource for the UFO community so that disclosure, in the definition that I believe it is, can take place. If you go to www.theblackvault.com, click on Encyclopedia and check it out. Go to the UFO section, you'll see UFO case file database, tells you how to upload videos, or I'll help you, write me directly. I want that information because it is so incredibly valuable. I can devote a whole show just to that. And you know what? We're out of time. I wanted to thank you all for your questions. I'll seriously consider doing a second hour, but I wanted to welcome all of the new listeners to the Black Vault Radio, if you're listening via theblackvault.com, but also a very warm welcome to all those listening on the Paranormal Radio Network, now carrying and syndicating the Black Vault Radio, and the Anomaly Radio Network, also syndicating the Black Vault Radio. Thank you so much for your support, your time, and your dedication. Again, disclosures with you and I. We'll see you next time on the Black Vault Radio.